Rabbi Hartman, Parashas Emor, 7th of May.
Good morning, everybody. First of all, a big yeshe koyach that in Edgeware, they're starting also to learn every day. Start the way with the Torah way, and it should be with a lot of tzlocha lahagdil Torah la'adira. At the end of this week's parasha, Parashas Emor, no pun intended, there's a lot to say on Parashas Emor, right? Emor means to say. So there's a lot to say on Parashas Emor. It concludes with the parasha of the Mekalel. Mekalel is the one who used the name of Hashem to curse a fellow Jew, and it's one of the parashas that Moshe Rabbeinu found it difficult what to decide. Just to, you know, the Vilna Gaon says that there are five parashas that Moshe Rabbeinu found it difficult to decide on his own, and they're exactly parallel to the five letters of which are in Mansapach, the letters that end. Are written in a double way. When they appear at the end of the word, they're written in a different way. Mansapach. So Mem stands for the Mekoshesh. Nun stands for the Nokev. That's this week's parsha. Tzadi stands for Tzlofchad, the daughters of Tzlofchad. Pei, Pesach Sheni. And Kaf, Kozvi Batsur, the story that happened over there with Pinchas. So the Vilna Gaon says that the letters of Mansapach are connected to these parshas. And there's a reason for it, but we're not going to go into it today. It says, Vayetze, on this week's parasha, on the Mekalel, Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis. He came out from somewhere, and he had an argument with with another Jew, and he cursed him in the name of Hashem. So says Rashi, where did he come out from? Vayetze, Mehechan Yotza, where did he come out from? So Rashi brings one pshat, Rabbi Brachi Omer Miparsha Shelemala Yotza, from the previous parasha. What is it? It spoke about the lechem upon him. The bread was cooked on Friday and put on the table on Shabbos. Ligle gevoma b'yom ha-Shabbos yachenu derech ha-melech lechol paschama b'chol yom. Usually bread has to be fresh and warm. Shema pas tzonenes shel tisha yomim? Meaning the bread is 9 days old when the Kohanim made it on the following Shabbos. It's already stale. Doesn't make sense that a melech should have his servants eating bread which is cold and stale. That caused him to be a mekalel. How do we understand it? He has a kasha on why the bread wasn't cold, it wasn't warm, and because of that he became a mekalel. What does that mean? And by the way, he's wrong. He's pushed, the facts are wrong. Why? Because the Gemara says in the last page of Maseches Chagiga, the Gemara says there was a nes with lechem upon him, that the bread was hot when you removed it 9 days later, like when you put it on. Cham behilakcho kebeditinato. That's Lashon HaGemara. I guess he wasn't aware of this miracle. But what's going on over here that he wasn't aware of the miracle? So he understood that the bread after on the ninth day is stale. That caused him to be a mekalel. It's wrong. He had the wrong information because the bread was hot. So what's really going on over here? So let's go into the understanding of this ness, that the bread was hot on the when it was removed, like when it was put on. What's the purpose of this miracle? So you could say that it should be fresh and tasty for the Kohanim. It doesn't have to be hot for that. If it's fresh, it's good enough. Hot means it was the same temperature of when they put it when it came out of the oven, like when they removed it a week later. What's the purpose of this miracle? Because Bohu doesn't do miracles in vain, right? Because Bohu doesn't change the nature just for no reason. There's a reason for it. It's again known. The Maral speaks about it, and the Vilna Gaon also speaks about it. You know, everything that we have in the world has its root in the Torah. So in the world we have a concept which is called Nes. Miracle. Changing of nature. What's its root in Torah? Which concept of Torah in the Torah realm, when it's translated to the world that we live in, will be called Nes? So we see the fruit. What's the root? You have a miracle. What is it? What's a miracle within the realm of Torah? So the Vilna Gaon says it, and it's not written anywhere, but I heard it from my Rosh Hashiva Zatzal, Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner. And I think it went like this. The Vilna Gaon said it over to Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Reb Chaim Volozhiner said it over to Reb Yitzchak Volozhiner. Rabbi Yitzchak Voloshiner said it over to the Netziv. That's his son-in-law. The Netziv said it over to Rav Kook. Rav Kook's Zatzal said it over to Rav Hutner's Zatzal, and Rav Hutner said it over to me, and now I'm sharing it with the people of Edgewood. Straight from the mouth of the Gaon. What is the root of a miracle in Torah? You know what the Vilna Gaon said? Hayras Shah. Hayras Shah is the concept that you could change the halacha, a navi could change the halacha if circumstances are needed just for the time being. The classical example of a Ra'as Shah, what does it, Rabbi, say?
Eliyahu
Navi, Bahar Carmel, right? That he brought a korban outside when he wasn't supposed to. That's exactly parallel to Anes. A part of the God. Ra'as Shah is the root of Anes. And just like a navi will never change a halacha stam, only if there's really need for it, and only for temporary. Similarly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't do a nes stam. There's a reason for it. So what's the purpose of this nes? That the bread was hot, the same temperature when it came out of the oven, 9 days later as well. So this is explained. Again, the Pachad Yitzchak speaks about it in Pesach Mamon Ulches, and appears in a few places, that we look at the world, that let's say this table was made by a carpenter 5 years ago, and now it's standing on its own. The world was created 5,772 years ago, and somehow it's going on its own. That's how we may think. But the truth is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly creating the world. HaMechadesh B'tuvoy V'chol Yom Tomid Ma'aseh Bereishis. Let's say everybody in this room, we're Baruch Hashem alive and well till 120. Say amen, amen. Oh, good. Now, you can understand it as, you know, we were born X amount of years ago, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a battery that hopefully will last for 120 years. That's how you could look at it. But we know that that's not the pshat. We know that every second HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing to us mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Every second. It's an active decision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should be alive. Every second HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pressing a button and giving us livelihood. It's not because I was born once and I'm going on. Status quo. I'm going on. And you know, Baruch Hashem, there's health and there's okay, yeah, we'll keep on. That's not the pshat. Rather, Chaim Birtzoinoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly bestowing on us his chiyus, just like the moment that we were born. We're constantly being born. That's really the emes. It's not that it was once and somehow it's dragging its feet as life goes on. Rather, every second, according to that, Malach HaMavis doesn't mean there's a Malach that comes and takes. Just HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides, uplifts his finger on the button and we may have a death occurs. That's what it is. Because it's a constant flow of Shefa, of a buttons. That's what Chaim means. Ki Hu Amar Vayehi, that's the initial creation, Hu Tziva V'yamot. It's constant. What's the difference if I was born X amount of years ago and there's a battery of 120 years, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly is pumping in livelihood? The mice, you're alive either way, but it's a world of a difference if it's constant. So the keshe with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something ongoing every day, constantly. If it was that 50 some years ago he gave me a battery, okay, thank you very much for what happened 50 some years ago, but now it's going on its own. It's much less of a keshe. To bring this out, speaking about Mashalim, right? A Mashal, but this is a story that happened in the 90s, the Frum pool in Yerushalayim. What does it mean, the Frum pool? Not that the pool has a kippah, but it's separate hours in the institution for the blind. In the early 90s, there was a fellow there who drowned, and the lifeguard did not notice it immediately. He only took him out of the water like a minute later or something, which is a long time. And the guy already, the one who drowned, already lost his conscience. Conscious, and he had to do mouth-to-mouth recitation them. And the one who drowned started to, that's what happens. Anybody here from Hatzalah? Okay, the body like starts to jerk. He's still out of it. And what happened was, the body started to jerk and he gave a big kick with his foot from behind to the lifeguard. And he literally threw him on the wall as a result of the kick. It was a very powerful kick. And his head bumped into the wall, the head of the lifeguard, of the Matzil, and he really needed stitches even, but he kept on doing mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, even though he was gushing with blood. He stabilized his situation, and they took him immediately to the hospital of Shari Tzedek, which is literally across the street from Beit Ibrim, Mamash. And after they took him to the hospital, Baruch Hashem, no brain damage was done. They were very happy. And a week afterwards, he came home. And somehow he found out what happened. That when the lifeguard was doing mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, he kicked him. Anyway, he came to the lifeguard. Both of them were yeshiva guys. And he came to the lifeguard and brought him a beautiful gift and said, "You know, I understand that while you were saving my life, I kicked you." So the lifeguard says, "Yeah, it's nothing. You weren't even bardas. You're nothing. You're not even called the anus. I mean, nothing. You're out of it. Nothing happened." "No, I see that scar." He tells him, "I see you have a scar on your head. And that's going to remain probably for the rest of your life because of me. I feel so terrible. You came to save my life. And while you're saving my life, I kicked you." He was mephias and he appeased them. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing to us mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, how could I in that moment kick him? If I do an aver, it's kicking. If I speak Lashon Hara, that means with this very second that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving to us, Chaim, I'm using that livelihood and disobeying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon. What kind of punim do I have? And the guy who drowned really was out of it. We're awake and aware and well. Intentionally we sometimes can do it. If a person's aware that that's the relationship that he has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's constantly, this very second, with the chiyus he's giving you this very second, I may do an avera. What kind of punim is it? So, al kol panim, that's what we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly. The bread being hot constantly is showing out this point. The bread being hot constantly is bringing out this nekuda that why is the bread hot the whole time? Because it's constantly being baked. Why shouldn't it be hot the whole time? In the world that we live in, so when you go to a bakery, it's baked initially, and then it cools off as time goes by. Because that's the nisayon and the bechira that we have in the world that we live in. But in the world, but Aliba de Emes, it's just, it's outside bluff. Inside, constantly, there's a constant baking of food. And it's always hot. Now, whatever's disguised in the world, and the Beis Hamikdash is revealed. That's known. Especially if it's called Lechem HaPanim, the word panim comes from the word panim as well, what's really happening. And what's really happening is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly sending over his bracha. Therefore, it was hot, exactly the same temperature like it was when it was baked, like when they ate it, not just for the convenience of the Kohanim, but rather for to bring out, it's always being baked. It's constantly, the process of baking is going on forever. If you take it a step further, the word shulchan, you know, in Lashon HaKodesh we know that words do not happen by random. The word shulchan has to do with the word shalach, to send. What does a table have to do with shalach? It's the same root. We don't have these coincidences in Lashon HaKodesh, stam. We also say on benching, ha-rachamanu yishlach lanu, brocha merube b'bayis hazeh, ve- Al shulchan zeh shachanu olav. Why are you singling out the table? Once you say bayis hazeh, it doesn't include everything in the bayis. Why don't we single out other pieces of furniture? The idea is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends his bracha to the world through our table. That's the emes. That's a kam. It's called shulchan from the word shaleach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending the bracha. And when the days of the Beis Hamikdash was kaim, the shulchan of the Mishkan or the Mikdash was the source of abundance of a shefa throughout the whole world. So dafka there's a point to show that yes, it's constantly going on. There's a constant flow of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. It's not that it's done once and then somehow status quo. What happened to this Mekalel? He was not aware of this phenomena, and that caused him to be a Mekalel. And the way we're learning today, there's a little bit of understanding to it. He thought that the bread is cold and stale. Namely, there is not a constant flow and shefa in the world. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world once, and now he left it to run on its own. He's not so involved day to day. Also, I could use his name for my purposes because it's not called such a terrible chutz because anyway he's not here, so to speak. If he would have been aware that the bread is hot, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is constantly here, so he wouldn't have had the audacity and the azus to use Kadosh Baruch Hu's name for something which you're not allowed to. In the presence of a king, everybody behaves properly. But since he understood that the lechem is tzoinen, namely Kadosh Baruch Hu gave that first injection, bezel, and now he's somewhere else. So since, so to speak, Kadosh Baruch Hu turned his back, I could now use his name for whatever I wish, and it's not called a rebellious act against the king, because the king's not aware of it anyway, because he turned his back. So it all started from the fact that he thought that Kadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in the world is a one-go, and a one-off, and then the world goes on its own. If he would have known that the bread would have been hot, he wouldn't have done this story of Mekalel. Now, what's beautiful in our Torah, Rabbi Yisrael, is that the halacha and the agarata go in hand in hand. I want to tell you when we spoke about the agarata part. You know, it says you should start a shir with agarata. But there's also a big yisod here about the lechem upanim and halacha. Rabbi Yisrael, don't be scared, it's easy, but a beautiful word of the Maharal and the Gur Aryeh explaining something about lechem upanim. In that last Mishnah in Chagiga that we spoke about, that it says that the bread is hot the whole time, it says in that Mishnah that we do not allow the Kohanim during Yom Tov to touch the Shulchan. Why? Because after Yom Tov we are retroactively suspicious. Maybe they were Tameh. Even though in Yom Tov itself you're not suspicious of it. Everybody has a Chazakah that he's Tahor. But after Yom Tov we will be afraid retroactively that maybe one of the Kohanim who touched the table was a Tameh. And that will necessitate to take the table to the Mikveh. The Shulchan to the Mikveh. And you cannot do it. Why not? Because the shulchan has to be constantly engaged. Lechem lefonai tamid. The shulchan's on duty 24/7. And if you're going to cause that the shulchan will have to stop for a second or for a few hours and take it to a mikveh and bring it back, it will not be able to fulfill its duty and its job of lechem lefonai tamid. That's what's written in the Gemara. Maseches Chagiga, Daf Kavav Amud Beis. According to Rashi, the Gemara asks, and what about menorah? We allow the Kohanim to touch the menorah. Hi, it says also by menorah, la'alois ner tamid. So there's a tamid said by menorah, just like a tamid said by the shulchan. So what's this discrepancy between the shulchan and the menorah? That's Rashi's question. Rashi asks it. Rashi answers that tamid by menorah does not mean 24/7, like it means by the shulchan, rather on a regular basis. Every night you would light the candles. But during the day, the menorah is idle. You can do whatever you want. So tamid doesn't mean constantly, but means on a regular basis. But there's a lot of holes in the interim that you have an opportunity to go to the mikveh and take the menorah to the mikveh if there'll be such a need. That's what Rashi answers. Asks Tosfos on the spot, Rabbeinu Chanan, Elchanan asks, what about Ner Ma'aravi? That according to some opinions, Ner Ma'aravi, he learns it from the Sifri, was literally also 24/7. And if the menorah has a candle which has to be lighting 24/7, and if it will become tameh, the menorah will have to be taken into the mikveh, the Ner Ma'aravi won't be able to light tamid. So what's the difference between tamid of shulchan and tamid of menorah once we're saying that it's referring to Ner Ma'aravi? Answers the Maharal, a gevaldike teretz. The Maharal of Prague, an Orthodox Jew who lived 400 years ago, he said, "Amoyvetika teretz." He says like this: there's a world of a difference between the tamid of the menorah and the tamid of the shulchan, even if the menorah is referring to Ner Ma'aravi. Why? He says, the lechem is that we'll speak with a briskish of Rabbi Salabit. It's a din in the shulchan, just like the shulchan has 4 feet, and the shulchan has all other vessels on it. The shulchan has to have the lechem on it constantly. The shulchan has to schlep, so to speak, the lechem on it constantly. The shulchan has to do it. However, Ner Ma'aravi, it's not a din in the menorah. It's a din in hadlaka. Once you have a menorah, light on it a candle 24/7. But there's no din to have the menorah 24/7. Says the Maharal, I'll prove it to you. And Parshas Truma, which speaks about making the kelim of the Mishkan, that's what's speaking about, how you make the Aron, how you make the Mizbeach, it says over there, the Shulchan and the Menorah, it says there, by the Shulchan, put on it lechem, lefonei tamid, in Parshas Truma. it says there the lechem, but it doesn't say in Parshas Truma to light the candle. About the menorah, it says gviya, kaftorea, prachea. Where does it say to light the candle? Parshas Tetzaveh, the next parsha. So you see that there's a clear difference between the two. That the din of the menorah, meaning the hadlokah, is not a din in the making of the menorah. If it would have, it would have been mentioned in Parshas Truma. Rather, it's mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh. So the menorah has its function. Once you have a menorah, light a candle 24/7. But there's no din to have a menorah 24/7. Indirectly, if you won't have the menorah, you won't have the Nehemiah Ravi as well. But it's not a din in the menorah. However, when it says Lechem Lefonai Tamid on the Shulchan, it's a din in the Shulchan. The Shulchan has to be 24/7 involved and engaged in care and having on it the Lechem. Therefore, if it will be taken to mikveh, it won't be doing its job. So there's a world of a difference between the Tamid of the Shulchan and the Tamid of the menorah. The Tamid of the of Lechem Aponim is a din in the Shulchan. The Shulchan cannot stop, cease from what it's doing. By the hadlaka, it's not a din in the menorah, rather a din in hadlaka. That's what the Ramah says on the spot. In light of what we spoke today in the Agarta part, it's very understood. The shulchan, which represents the lishloyach, the shulchan, which represents the constant bestow of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the shulchan has to be something which is always, always on duty. The menorah is already a different din. I have a little story with that maral that I just mentioned to you. I once, about 18 years ago, I gave a lift. That's how it's called here in London. I gave a lift to Reb Avram Yeshua Soloveitchik, who's probably the biggest Rosh Yeshiva today in the world. The Prishki Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, I'm sure you heard of it. By Americans, some American circles, it's a must that it should appear on your CV that you spend a year in Brisk. If not, Shidduchim, kacha kacha. It has to be. And Rav Avraham Yeshua, he's a young man. Now he's probably in his early 60s. This goes back 80 years ago, then he was in his 40s. Rav Avraham Yeshua Soloveitchik, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he's the Rosh Yeshiva. And I never met him before. And I'd met him recently a few times. And it's the first time I met him. And we're in the car together. He preferred not to speak Hebrew, you know, brisk. But I spoke to him Hebrew. He understands Hebrew very well. He spoke to me in Yiddish. And I told him this part of the Maral. I'm differentiating between the Tamid of the Menorah and the Tamid of the Shulchan. After I told him, he says, "That's of this. Who said this?" I say, "The Goalie." "Goalie? For the Maral?" "Yeah." He wanted to double check. "Is the gedruckt zusammen mit Rebbe Leo Mizrachi? Is it printed together on the same page of Rebbe Leo Mizrachi?" Because in the old printing, the Goalie appears on the same page of Rebbe Leo Mizrachi. I said, "Yeah." You know, again, from the circles where I come from, Chaim Berlin, Rav Yitzchak, the Maral is not only because he's printed together with Rav Mizrachi, he has his own chashivas as well. But anyway, it's like saying the Magid Mishnah is important because it's printed together with the Mari Kukus and the Rambam. Well, no, the Magid Mishnah has its own chashivas. He says, "That's how he talks? I thought he's like a philosopher into numbers. No? Isn't like 5, 3, 2, 8? That's what the Maral's about. He says, that's Unzer Alumnus. That's how we talk. That's how I love this. Really? I never knew the Maral talks like this." That's what he says. "Niyomai lo yadati," he says. He asked me to tell him another word of the Maral. Maybe I'll dare this. I told him, I'll tell you what it's a very short one. There's a Mishnah in Horius. A Mishnah in Horius says, "Kohen Godol makriv oinen ve'eino oichel." Meaning there's Alocha Vaninus. Halacha v'ninus means that if chas v'shalom a person lost someone from the shiva krovim, from the time of the death to the time of the burial, he's called the oinen, and he's not allowed to do any mitzvahs. And a regular kohen may not enter the beis hamikdash or do any avoida while he's in the category of oinen. Not so a kohen gadol. We learn it from sukkim. A kohen gadol makriv oinen. He does his akrova even though he's oinen. Ve'eino oichel, but he's not allowed to take part in eating the korbanos. That's a mishnah. It's a mishnah, Horius, no chachmas. It's a mishnah. If you say that he's allowed to do makriv and not to be oichel, so it gives the impression of what's more stringent and what's more lenient, that akrava is lighter and achila is more severe. Because the akrava we allow to function and the achila we do not. And this contradicts anything that we know about kochim. That's for sure the opposite. a Baal Nom. He's allowed to be Oichel, he's not allowed to be Oyved. This week's, right? This week's parasha speaks about Baal Imumi, Kohen is a Baal Mum. So how come, or by a Kohen Gadol, it's the other way around? That he's Makriv, Oinen, Ve'eno Oichel. So it, apparently it comes out that the Akrava is lighter than the Achila, when usually it's always the opposite. So says the Maral over there, he says, I'll tell you the Chilik. For sure Akrava is much more severe than Achila. For sure. Hi, the Kohen Gadol is allowed to be Makriv, and not allowed to be Oichel. The difference is not between the Akrava and the Achila, but the function of the Kohen Gadol. When he's Makriv, he's functioning as a Kohen Gadol. He's wearing the Shmoin of Godim. He is a Kohen Gadol. When he's Oichel, he's not eating in the capacity of a Kohen Gadol. There's no Achila of a Kohen Gadol. He's eating like any other Kohen. He doesn't wear the Shmoin of Godim when he's eating, when he's Oichel. So when he has the status of a Kohen Gadol, then he has the heter of Aninus. When he doesn't have the status of a Kohen Gadol, he's back to a regular Kohen who doesn't have that there. The difference is not between Akrav and Achila, rather the difference is between the Kohen Gadol himself. When he's functioning as a Kohen Gadol, then there's a Heter of Aninus. When he's functioning as a regular Kohen, then there's no Heter of Aninus. When he's Makriv, then he's in the capacity of a Kohen Gadol. When he's Oichel, he's in the capacity of a regular Kohen, even though it's the same individual. And the difference is, if he's wearing Shmoin Abgadim, that means he's a Kohen Gadol. If he's not, that means he's back to regular Kohen. I told this over to Rav Rav Yeshua. Those. Again, the whole procedure again. Yeah. He said, I don't believe it. That's how he talks. That's Mamash Yeshiva Shalom this. That's not a din of a krov achila. It's the match. The gavra is a different gavra when he's oichel and when he's not. So how come? Wow, unbelievable! He tells me. Could you tell me another word of the moral? Anyway, guys, the other ones will take a little bit longer. I did tell him, and then he told me, whenever you have such a kind of word, please come and tell me again. And this talmidim told me that since he's brisk, you know, brisk is a little distant, and he, by definition, they're not supposed to get excited. But here, he just lost it. Okay? So let's just sum up again what we learned today. That the tamid of the shulchan and the tamid of the menorah are two different dinim. Right? And consequently, and that's why that the shulchan, the bread, was always hot when you put it on and when you took it off 9 days later. Because to bring out the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shaleach, bestowing his bracha on us constantly, it's mouth-to-mouth resuscitation constantly. That's what's happening. And by Yeshua, and the Mekalel that was not aware of this phenomenon, and he thought that the bread is stale and old, that means he's not just arguing about the bread. That's not the issue. The issue is a much broader one. It's not only a machlekes about the lechem aponim, but it's a machlekes how is a Kodesh Baruch Hu involved and engaged in the world. And if a person's constantly aware of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence, and constantly is aware that he's living this very second, because a Kodesh Baruch Hu actively is pressing a button, you shall live, then every behavior, our whole behavior will be totally different, obviously, if we're constantly aware that there's a pipe putting into us, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is deciding that we should live. So obviously then it would be a lot more difficult to do Chas V'Shalom any kind of avera, because how could I, if now he's giving me the chiyus to live? So again, I want to wish this the Olam that they should be matzliach with the Torah way in Edgeware, and it should go me chayil chayil, and it should be tamid. Torah should be also tamid. It's not one of the shesh mitzvahs tmidiyos, but nevertheless, we have a mitzvah of learning Torah as whenever we could. Someone once met the Chazon Ish and asked, he wasn't aware it was the Chazon Ish. They were sitting together and he asked him, what do you do? He asked the Chazon Ish, what do you do? He says, I learn when I have the time, I learn. I try to make that, when I have free time, I learn. Meaning, maybe just to conclude, I was once in Boca Raton, Florida. It's a city in America. Nice kila there. We have a mishpacha there. It wasn't Sukkis. And the Rav there, a very successful Rav, spoke about, he gave a shir in Mishnah Berurah, in Lichas Mishnah Berurah, and Sima Kuf Nun Hei. There was about 200 people there attending. And the Mishnah Berurah says up there that if a person's working, not learning the whole day, he should try to learn every day 5 to 6 hours. If he's working. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. And everybody started to laugh. That's impossible. Well, you're working, you're going to learn 5-6 hours a day? My check. And even the Rav himself was giving the shiur, says, yes. It's funny. Then suddenly you heard a voice from the corner. Everybody turned their head. There was a fellow there, not necessarily a yeshivish guy, not like he was wearing a colored shirt on Yom Tov. And he asked, hey, well, why are you guys laughing? So they thought he misunderstood what's happening. So they told him, no, because something very funny happened now. Yeah, well, no, the Mishnah says that if people are working, they should learn 5-6 hours a day. That's ridiculous. Why is it ridiculous? You don't waste 6 hours a day on Narishkeit? On serving the internet, or on Facebook, or playing computer games, or watching movies? Look at your day, you don't waste 6 hours? So the Mishnah was saying, instead of wasting those hours, learn. Well, what's so funny? What, you're so busy? Look at your day, you'll see there's tons of time that you waste. So he's saying, instead of that, to learn. Was silence. Silence. After that guy spoke, it was silence. And everybody, if you look carefully on your day, you'll see there's tons of hours that just somehow something happens to them. So the Mishnah was saying, try to make sure that they won't happen and use it for learning Torah. So we should be Zaychem Yetz Hashem to go Michael El Chayil, call to Rabbi Sai. I want a little bit more than that.